Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. If you'd stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. If you weren't in the, where'd I go here? Amen. There we go. If you weren't here this morning in the adult class, you can listen online. Amen. You want to listen to that. Praise the Lord. Let God speak to your heart. We're going to continue on here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3 through 9. And there were four leprous men at the entering in the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syria to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and a noise of great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was and fled for their lives. And when these leprous men came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And they said one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Lord, we heard your word here tonight. God, we're going to listen and hear. And I pray, God, that as we hear the word of God, we not only just hear it, Lord, but we, Lord, put it into action, Lord God, that we apply it to our lives. I pray, God, right now that you anoint your servant, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, speak through me to your people tonight, God. Let your will be done in this house. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap of praise as you're seated. I want to speak to you. You must do something. You must do something. These four leprous are outside of the city because they are contagious. Can I get a little more monitor, please? I hear a lot of house. Leprosy was a terrible condition. Leprosy would lead to isolation. Leprosy would lead to humiliation. Even in the best of times, a leper lived with the stigma of being an outcast. They were separated from people. They were rejected by God. But in this case, the situation was even worse, folks, because their city was besieged by a belligerent army, and there was a terrible famine inside and outside of the city. And if leprosy did not get these men, then starvation surely would get them. And yet it was the disease that had broken them from pride, and the disease had broken them from their resourcefulness. And they had no resource. They felt no pride. They had nothing. And that's what brought them to the point that they would even dare to consider going and asking for mercy from their enemies. I want to ask you tonight, folks, amen, wasn't it, when you came to the Lord, it was a time of brokenness for most people in their lives. It was a time of realizing that I've made a mess of things. There's a time that they realize, hey, this, what I'm doing is getting me nowhere in life. Amen, it seems like when I take one step forward, I go four back. Come on, can I get a testimony here tonight, folks? Aren't you glad, hallelujah, in your worst times that you found God? It's a time when you find yourself in those kind of places, amen, that pride goes out the window and you find yourself at an altar crying out and seeking the face of God. Because of these men's brokenness, because it led to usefulness, folks. That's one of the many situations of Scripture. When I want to use something, many times in Scripture we look, when we want to use something, we find something that works. I find something that doesn't need to be fixed. Right? That's how we are. That's our tendencies. But let me tell you something, what God does. When God wants to use someone, He doesn't look for something that's fixed. He looks for someone who is broken. Amen. Have you ever felt like God wanted to do something? Amen. And you did not do it? Hear me. Have you ever felt like God wanted you to do something and you didn't do it? And you regret it. God says, go talk to that person. And you find some excuse why you don't go talk to them. And later on you find out that they passed away. Or whatever it may be, folks. Amen. There's a lot of times that God has asked us to do something and we didn't do it. And we live to regret it. You see, folks, often, too often, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us like we should. Can I say, does someone say amen tonight? I said, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us like we should. God tells us what to do many times, but we just refuse. We don't act on His guidance. And probably if you think real hard, or even maybe not so hard, most will find that God has asked you to do something and you regret not doing what He asked you to do. Maybe you can think of a time tonight. Maybe it come to you really quick. But so often, we do not do what God wants us because, well, it just does not make sense what God asked me to do. Or maybe, we don't want to seem, or look stupid. Come on. Maybe you feel if you do what God told you, you'll look stupid. And I don't want to look stupid. Folks, you know what? Part of the reason that Christians are not effective as we should be is the simple fact that we are not willing to do something for God that makes no logical sense to us. Come on. It doesn't make sense. God, it sounds ridiculous. I'm not doing it. I want you to notice something here, folks. As we look at this passage of Scriptures, we can see that God's plan for us requires our response. Amen? When God, if we want a blessing in life, I'm telling you, you gotta do something for God. Hallelujah. You see, as these four leprous men were at the entering of the gate, they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Four famished, fear-stricken, leprous men led one of the greatest deliverances and revivals that the nation of Israel ever witnessed. You see, God transformed this trip into one of the most hilarious invasions in all of history. Amen. The timid, soft steps of four leprous men cautiously walking on the path to Syria. Can you see them with me tonight? Folks, come on. They're walking timidly. They're saying, look, we're going to sit here and die, so we might as well go. I don't think they walked right up there to this camp and just said, hey, let us in. They probably were saying, come on. And as they're going, they're probably saying, are we sure about this? We got to go, folks. You know, if we don't, we're going to die anyway. So come on, come on, come on. So they're probably walking very gingerly. They're starving. They're walking timidly. They're taking soft steps. They're very cautious in walking to this camp. And what they were doing, folks, they didn't know it, but every step they took, God amplified it. I'm telling you tonight, folks, you can take tiny steps just doing something for God, and God will amplify it like it's never been heard before. If you'll just do something for God. Amen. It was amplified. It was magnified by God into a roar of chariot wheels rumbling. It was amplified into swords clanging. It was amplified into horses panting. It was amplified into shouting, soldiers shouting. It was amplified into trumpets blasting. I'm telling you, if you'll just do something for God, He'll magnify it like you've never dreamed. Hallelujah. The roar that they heard, God amplified, melted the Syrian soldier's heart with a frightful fear of a devastating defeat. You see, the noise of confusion, the noise went cracking through the camp like a windswept fire. Folks, the church may seem to be a ragtag group of people, of a weekend soldiers. Hey man, we may look like a ragtag bunch of people when we walk in here. People may say this is a low budget church. This is a church of low self-esteem. This is uneducated people. This is untrained soldiers. This is underpaid teachers and leaders with the highly criticized efforts of what they do. But with a task which seems unattainable, which seems unimaginable, what seems unfathomable, but God can and God will amplify our voices. God will magnify our work. God will glorify our endeavors. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what this church did a few weeks ago with giving $110,000. I'm telling you folks, that is amplified throughout the heavens, and God is going to bless this church. God is going to bless your efforts. God is going to bless. He's going to magnify it. He can also, hallelujah, rectify our failures. God can also mystify our enemies. God can also gratify our labors. Hallelujah. Many people are just sitting around for God to move. But God says, don't just sit there. Do something. Hallelujah. What is your need tonight, folks? God is saying, don't just sit there. Amen. Wait on something to happen. Don't be like these people in the city who are just sitting there waiting to die. It took 4 leprous people to say, I don't want to just sit here. I want to do something. Many people are sitting around waiting for God to move. God is saying, do something. Just do something. You see, these lepers were sitting outside the city walls of Syria. The city cast them out. They were an offense to look at. They were an eyesore to behold. They had the potential of being highly contagious and infectious. See, the church, likewise, folks. Hey, man, the world looks at us. We have been super maturely wedged in between the world and the enemy camp. The world has separated the church from society. They've tried to close our doors. Amen. They want to bring the churches down. We are an offense to their fleshly lust. We are an eyesore to their human and materialism, folks. We have the potential of being highly contagious and infectious to a world. Come on. See, you are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Come on, out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 4 lepers say, why sit we here until we die? Don't just sit here and lie and die. Let's get up and let's do something for God. Folks, the church has nothing to lose. These lepers had nothing to lose. They said, if we don't go do something, we're going to die anyways. I'm challenging this church tonight. I thank you for your offering, folks. But I think there's some more things that God wants to do in our midst. I think there's some family members that need to be healed in your life. I think there's some neighbors that need God. There's some co-workers that desperately need your God. And I'm telling you tonight, don't just sit there and die. Do something! We got to do something! Come on, we got to stand up and say, I'm not just going to sit here and let this stuff happen all around me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to just let my friend die. I'm not going to let this financial situation go down the hill. Come on, whatever it is, folks, God wants to use His people tonight. We don't have anything to lose. Come on. Nothing to lose. Hallelujah. The devil fights us. The world doesn't like us. We might as well teach our Bible studies. I said the devil doesn't like us. Amen. The world don't like us. We might as well knock on doors. Amen. We might as well preach the truth. We might as well worship like we've never worshiped before. We might as well talk in tongues. We might as well shout. Come on, get up and do something. Let me ask you tonight, has the devil stole your joy? Has the devil stole your victory, folks? Has he stole your miracle? Come on, has he stole your answer from God? I'm telling you, we might as well get up and do something. Don't just sit there. Get up and do something for God. You gotta do something. You need to march into the remaining camp. Amen. You need to knock down and reclaim your joy. Amen. You need to take back your answer from the enemy. You need to reclaim your victory. You need to reclaim your miracle. You need to reclaim the power of God in your life. You need to reclaim your anointing. Don't just sit there. Do something. Has hardship, frustration robbed you of your worship? Has it robbed you of faith? Amen. Has it stripped you of your desire? Amen. Has it blinded your vision? Don't just sit there tonight. Do something for God. Does it just seem like the devil's noose is securely wrapped around your neck? Does it seem like it's securely wrapped around your family members? Don't just sit there, folks. Do something for God. Hallelujah. Get down on your knees and intercede for your family. Sanctify and fast. Amen. Have faith in God. By all means, don't just sit there. Do something for God. Now, after the lepers find, they go to this camp and they find coffee brewing. They find beans are still simmering in the pot. They see roast still roasting. Bacon is still sizzling. They ate the food. They buried the treasures. They put on new clothes. And what they had received almost persuaded them. Hear me. They find all these blessings. And it almost persuaded them to forget why they received it. Sound familiar? God has taken us and He's brought us into His kingdom. Amen. He's filled us with the Holy Ghost. He's begun to bless our lives. He's begun to bless us in jobs. He's begun to bless us with newer homes and cars and all these kind of things. And sometimes, folks, after we're taking in all this stuff from God, all these blessings of God, we almost forget why we were blessed with it. Here they are. They're eating all this food. Man, this is great. I haven't ate like this in years. They're burying treasures. This is awesome. I'm rich. I'm a leper. I'm an outcast in society. And I got this. Look at all this stuff. This is awesome. And they're over here digging holes and burying it. And then it hits them. What are we doing? Come on, church. Have we forgot what we're supposed to be doing for God? Have we forgot why God has blessed you? Come on, we're so blessed to be where we are in Jesus Christ. Amen, folks, don't ever forget why God saved you. Don't ever forget why God blessed you. Amen, folks, He did it for a reason.
they had received almost all this blessings from God. It almost persuaded them to forget why they received it. What and why? Folks, what and why are two words which hold life and death and blessing and cursing. What had they received was incredible. Can you say that tonight? What God has done in your life, how God has changed you, as God has blessed you, how God has given you a place, a great place to live and a great job and a family that God has touched in their lives. Come on, folks. What you have received from God is incredible. But why they received it was awesome. Hear me. What they had received was incredible. But why they received it was awesome. And listen to me. In Psalms 103 and verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You see, to Israel, folks, God revealed his acts. The what? To Moses, God revealed his ways. The why? Folks, we do not have a problem comprehending the doctrines of what we have. We know we're one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rollers, born-again believers. We know that. And we carry it proudly. Come on. Come on, God has blessed us. We do not have a problem comprehending the doctrines of what we have. We have a problem with comprehending the doctrines of why we have it. Come on, why did God give it to us, folks? To sin it and bury it? He didn't want us to bury this. He wants us to tell your neighbors. He wants you to tell your family members. He wants you to tell your co-workers. Do not hide the blessings of what God has given you. Come on, hallelujah. Why did God give it to us? What we have Holy Ghost. We have anointing. We have truth. We have an Acts 2:38 message. We have a one God revelation. But most convincing and investigative question is, why do we have it? Hallelujah. Why do we have it? Do we have it to hoard it? Do we have it to bury it? Do we have it to consume it? We are much like the four lepers. We found it. We ate it. We buried it. We wore it. But we just don't share it. Either. See, folks, Esther had it all. Her God-given beauty. God gave her that beauty. And because of that beauty, God had elevated her to the lofty position of being the queen. You see, the threat of a Holocaust of the Jews was God's primary purpose for her promotion. Let me tell you something. You're here for a reason. Amen. God brought you here into this apostolic truth for a reason, folks. Amen. He did not bring you here to bury it. He did not bring you here to eat it and wear it and hoard it. God brought you here for a reason. Hallelujah. God gave Esther this beauty. Amen. He elevated her to the queen for a reason. Amen. There was a Holocaust on the way to her people, to the Jews. And God brought her there for a reason. The tools given her for deliverance were also a quintessential test for her greatest temptation. God put her in that place for her greatest ever temptation. She was in fortified comfort zone. She had vast wardrobes. She had untold wealth. She had servants to fulfill her very every little whim. But what she had could easily seduce her to forget the why she had it. the church, folks. We are the King's kids. We know our rights. We know our privileges. We relish our claim to authority. We relish the claim of authority over demons and sickness. We relish the claim over the untold spiritual wealth, the fortified in our spiritual comfort zones. But Mordecai said to Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. We sit in a nation cursed with COVID and bludgeoned with violence and drowning in crime and overwhelmed in substance abuse. And our witness to the world through the media is ministers with Rolex watches and limousines and heated doghouses and soliciting prostitutes. And you can go on and on. Folks, we don't need just to sit here. We need to do something for God. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Revival can come simply through an avenue of obedience to God's will. Ezekiel, can these bones live? God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live, Ezekiel? He talked to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. And he didn't listen, and a great fish, the biggest taxi you ever seen, took him. Four lepers, no faith, but God did it. Hallelujah. Look at what the lepers said in 2 Kings 7 verse 9. Finally they said to each other, this is not right. This is the day of good news. We aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come, let's go and tell people at this palace. What'd they say? This is not right, hoarding it. This is not right, burying it. This is not right, eating it all ourselves, folks. Hey, man, they said this is a day of good tidings. God has blessed us for more than just for ourselves. Amen. Let's go and tell the people at the palace. Let's go tell the king what God has done here. Listen to me. When David was at Ziklag and the Amalekites came and they burned the city, folks, they kidnapped all the wives of him and his wives and his men's wives and all their children. They took it all. Israel wanted to stone David to death. It is at that time. I don't care what persecution is coming towards you, but it was at that time that David said no. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Understand something, folks. Without David, there will be no Jesus. Without David, there would be no Calvary. Without David, there would be no blood. Without David, we would not have salvation today. I'm telling you, folks, you're here for a reason. Hallelujah. David was at that place for a reason. David did what it thinks for God that he did for a reason. And if it was not for David, we wouldn't be here today. I'm telling you, God has you here for a reason today. Hey, man, you don't know what God wants to do through your testimony. You may testify. You may tell somebody about God. Could be one of the greatest missionaries ever walked the face of the earth. Could be a phenomenal Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you, God has you here for a reason. Do we go through rough times? Yes, we do. We all have our bad times. But quit having your pity parties and be like David. Get up and encourage yourself in the Lord. Gotta do something. David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was no one there to pat him on the back. David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was no one there to participate in his pity party. His own soldiers wanted to stone him. Come on, sometimes, folks, our people here in our church, our brothers and sisters in our church, they can get us pretty down sometimes. But quit having your pity party and get on your knees and pray for that person. Amen. Say, God, encourage me right now. I love my brother. I love my sister. I'm not having this if it's around me. Too often we want to cry and drag our lip. Oh, pastor, they don't like me anymore. You can't believe what they said to me. Without David, there's no Jesus. Without David, there's no cross. Without David, there's no bloodshed. Without David, there's no salvation. Come on, folks, where is your place in the kingdom of God? We don't think about that. We're the new church. Come on, I'm telling you, we are still Book of Acts. Let it be said, my brother, hey man, he was discouraged in the Lord, but he got on his knees and he got a hold of God. And because of that, he was able to testify to his neighbor. That neighbor is the greatest revivalist ever walk. Where's your place in the Book of Acts? We got to do something, folks. David did something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. God said, pursue. Because David encouraged himself. Amen. God said, David, go get your family back. Come on, folks, we got to quit having pity parties and we got to get a hold of God. And I want to hear God tell you, go after your family member. Go after your coworker. Go down there and talk to that neighbor, because I'm going to deal with them like I've never dealt with them before. Come on. Has the devil taken your family members? Come on, has he robbed them? Come on, folks, get on your knees. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get up and do something. And God will give you your family members back. God said, David, pursue. And you will, hear me, you will recover all, David. You see, a dying slave, hear me, was the missing link to recovering what the enemy had stolen from him. Without us, folks, your family members, without us here, think about it today, folks, without us, each one of us here in this place tonight, without each one of us, your family members are going to be lost. Without us here, your neighbors are going to be lost. Without us, your coworkers are going to be lost. God saved you for a reason. You're here tonight for a reason. Hallelujah. Without them, folks, we will wander around aimlessly and cluelessly searching for revival. I'm asking you tonight, hear me as your pastor. I'm asking you tonight, do you want a miracle in your life? Come on, don't just sit there, folks. Get up and do something. I'm asking you tonight, if you want forgiveness in your life, don't just sit there, do something. Hey man, do you want revival in your life? Do you want revival in your church? Do you want revival in your family, your coworkers, your neighbors? Get up and do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. If you want prayer answered in your life, don't just sit there. Do something. Amen. Do you need healing tonight? Don't just sit there. Do something. Amen. Do you need the Holy Ghost tonight? Don't just sit there. Do something. You want to see people baptized tonight? Don't just sit there. Do something. Is there anybody in this church that has a family member you want to see saved? Is there anybody here tonight have a co-worker? Get up out of your pews right now. Don't just sit there. Do something. Stand with me tonight. Whatever you need, God can take care of it. But you must do something. Hear me. Whatever you need. Is there anybody here tonight has a need? Do you need somebody saved? Do you need somebody healed? Maybe you yourself. Maybe you need saved. Maybe you need healed. Maybe you need God to move in a situation. Don't sit in your pew. Do something. Come on. Come on, folks. I'm talking to you tonight. Don't just sit there. If you have a need, don't just sit there. Do something. Come on. If there's ever a time to do something, it's right now.